Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. So as you're checking out, pick them up. And
beer.
Absolutely, Homer. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dill pickles, love the barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Nothing more exhilarating on one side and more deflating on the other than a buzzer beater from midcourt.
3.3 seconds remaining. Derek Jean will inbound it. They know, you know, you want to try to get it to Hamilton. And Jean gives it to Washington. Back it goes to Jean. He'll take it from midcourt.
Oh my gosh!
Derek Jean from midcourt. They're going to look at it. Oh my gosh.
It looked good to me, Dave.
It did me too. How about that? Let's see. They're going to look at it on the monitor, but the scoreboard says 97-94.
They beat Marshall last night, 97-94.
They blew out the VU meter on that one.
Yes, they did. I've met those guys. I met the play-by-play guy. He's does Louisiana Tech games. I met him down in Huntington, West Virginia. In fact, they were going to play Marshall in the Conference USA Championship game. They were staying in the same hotel we were.
You know what this sound is?
A year ago.
Oh, sorry, Steve. Go ahead. Do you know what this sound is? That's the overdrive and overload on the unit. I know because I've hit that before.
And why am I not surprised? All right.
Didn't think you would be surprised, I'll be honest with you.
Let's talk about wrestling now. Let's go out to Iowa City. Jeff Byers. Hey, Byers, what hotel they stick you guys in?
Yeah, we're out in Iowa City. We're at the team staying at the Hampton Inn.
Oh, so that one, okay.
It's a different, first time we've ever stayed there. So far, so good, though. I think the team is definitely looking forward to tomorrow and Sunday.
Well, look, because of the number of teams in the Big Ten, not everybody could wrestle everybody. So they didn't wrestle Iowa. So in reality, is that the big anticipation, as many of those head-to-head matchups as possible?
Yeah, I think from a fan's perspective here, obviously the Hawkeyes are looking for those opportunities. And, I think that the team race could be interesting, Steve. I mean, Penn State certainly comes in as the favorite. But because I was at home here and has had the success that it's had over the years, it truly feels that it can come out on top here on Sunday evening. And, listen, Ohio State has enough firepower with their upper-end guys that they could make a run. And then both Michigan and Nebraska have enough depth that I think they feel they can make a run. But both of those teams would need probably two or three kids to achieve above their seeds and get into the finals unexpectedly here. But I really think any of those five teams could realistically go into the weekend thinking, if things break our way and we get a couple of key bouts here or there, we could come out on top.
The key to this is getting as many bonus points as possible. They become great separators in postseason tournaments in wrestling. If you look at the top 10 potential bonus point guys that are in this tournament, how many belong to Penn State?
Yeah, at least three, Steve. Right off the bat, obviously, Zane Rutherford and Jason Nolf have just been bonus point machines. They rank Nolf as number one in terms of most dominant wrestler this season, and Zane Rutherford is number three, with Joe Stolfi from Bucknell actually sandwiched in there at number two right now. But in terms of getting bonus points against upper echelon guys, I don't think there's anybody better than Rutherford and Nolf in the entire country. And, you know, Bo Nickel is certainly right there, just maybe a step behind. And then the thing is, you go through this lineup, Steve, and I mean, Morgan McIntosh has really been coming on here at the end of the season in terms of bonus points and being able to pin some opponents, and I think he really has some big scoring potential here for Penn State as well. And, you know, Nico Megalutis, depending on who he draws in that first round, or Jordan Conway, again, depending on what the draw is, those are certainly a couple of candidates to get bonus points in the early going here as well.
All right. Kelsey Anderson has discussed the process all season long, the process of getting here, the process of getting to this point. Where does he feel his team is in the process right now?
Steve, I really think he believes they're exactly where they should be. And not to Cal lacks for confidence with his teams really ever, but he is as comfortable with this team, and I think with the progress that they've made as a team, as he's ever been. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some concerns. I mean, you're obviously hoping that Jimmy Golobong can put together a great postseason here and maybe duplicate the type of run he had last year at the national tournament. Gino Morelli has been so close so often against these upper echelon guys. Can he finally get a breakthrough win? You don't know exactly where you're at with Nick Nevels. He's only been on the mat here for about 6 weeks going hard. And that's a difficult weight to compete in regardless, but with only 6 weeks of real training, that's very difficult. But they feel good about the progress he's made and kind of where he's at right now. But there's certainly some uncertainties here going into the weekend. You know, Matt McCutchen, how will that knee hold up if he gets into an awkward position with it? So as comfortable and as confident as I think he is, and I do think he's very comfortable with this team and the progress that's made, there's certainly some things that you just are concerned about as you go into the weekend.
Right. No, I mean, no question. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. What about Nevels? I thought Cale did a brilliant job of saying, hey, the heck with Oklahoma State. You need more wrestling. And he sent him out to, I think it was Colorado Springs, and he won with 3-4 times out there. Where's he right now? Because that's a pretty stacked heavyweight spot.
It is. The Big Ten is loaded there. You know, Steve, he is just such a different type of heavyweight in terms of the style that he brings. I mean, he really does wrestle like a smaller guy. He's got a great single leg, likes to work in and just kind of snatch that single leg, and that is maybe his go-to move from his feet. But he's got a lot of variety to his game, and he's very tough on top. But when he is on, I would rank him right there with the best in the country at heavyweight in terms of ability to ride and turn opponents. But again, these guys are going against, in one case, a world champion here in Kyle Snyder of Ohio State, a guy in Adam Kuhn who's got several years of experience under his belt here at the very upper echelons of college wrestling. So it is certainly not going to be an easy path, but I really think they feel good about where Nick's at, the progress he's made, and he needs to finish in the top seven to get an automatic bid. I think he's got a pretty good case to be made even if he finishes eighth, but I think they're not putting any placing expectations on him going into the weekend. They want him to just go out and wrestle. But it looks like he would face Adam Kuhn in the quarterfinals, the number one seed from Michigan. And I just think style-wise, that's not a bad matchup for him. And I think it would be a great match for him to get under his belt, regardless of the outcome going to national, Steve, to kind of really get a barometer with whether or not he's going to be able to get onto the podium here when they head to Madison Square Garden. But I think going into the weekend, they feel pretty good about the progress he's made and just knowing Nick knows what it is he can do, what he can't do, and how he needs to wrestle this weekend. And I think that's as big a part of the equation as anything. He's not going to put himself in positions that you know, he shouldn't be, and he's not going to go for things that aren't there. And I think that gives them a quiet confidence about what he's going to be able to accomplish here over the next couple of days.
How baffling has Jimmy Gulabon been?
Steve, it is. It's just a mystery. It's one of those things, because it's not a situation, Steve, where this is a kid who doesn't go out and go all out in practice. And in practice, actually, he looks great. I mean, he's had some days in practice where you're just convinced there's nobody in the country that's going to be able to stay with him, let alone beat him. And then after a couple of those practices and given weeks, he goes out and struggles against, you know, mid-range kids here on the college scene. So I really think it's a head game with him. I think he knows that to some degree. You know, for him, it's just if he can get a win against one of those top two or three guys here, and again, a pretty good chance he'll match up with the number one seed, Michael Jordan of Ohio State, who he gave a very good battle to at the Jordan Center. You know, and if he can just get one takedown, one more takedown, and get his ride going, his ride's been pretty solid really all season long. It's been a matter of finishing off the takedowns and kind of believing that he can work himself into takedowns. He's, you know, in practice, he'll just shoot lights out. In matches, it's almost like he's waiting for that perfect shot, that perfect scenario to set up so he can get in on a good, clean shot. And that's just not, you're not going to get that at this level of wrestling very often. And so he is the great question mark in my mind, Steve, going into the weekend, because Jimmy Gulabon is good enough that he can win this tournament. I mean, he has that type of talent.
Sure.
But you know, it would not be shocking if Jimmy Gulabon doesn't qualify for the NCAA tournament either. He looks good in practice. He's had a couple of good days. They've been, you know, doing everything they can to try to get his head in a good place, but you just don't know until you see him go out here this weekend. I will say, I thought he wrestled a great match against Oklahoma State.
Yes,
I think that gave him some confidence in terms of what he's going to be able to do here. But again, that confidence is so fragile, I think, with him right now, Steve, that, you know, he gives up a couple of early takedowns in that first bout. I just don't know. I don't know where it goes from there this weekend.
Nico Megalidis also had the big fall against Oklahoma State. And I think he showed a little of emotion that sometimes we haven't seen from him. What do you think that did for his confidence, considering this placement in the schedule where that happened?
Yeah, no, it couldn't have been better, Steve. And he's another one, you know, he just beats himself up so much when things don't go the way he wants, or you know, he doesn't do what he thinks he should do in a given match or a given period. But listen, there are three guys here at the Big Tens that are all capable of winning, not just this weekend, but winning the national title in Madison Square Garden. And Nico is one of them. And he's going to have to, in all likelihood, get through the other two to get a Big Ten title here this weekend, because Thomas Gilman of Iowa right now is, I would argue, wrestling as well, if not better than anybody in the country. And obviously you have Nate Tomasello, the returning national champion, who's undefeated in the season for Ohio State. But, you know, all three of those guys, Nico's going to either win or lose by a point or two to each of them. And it's going to be, again, just keeping yourself solid, not getting yourself in bad positioning against especially those two guys, because you make one mistake against those guys and they will be able to capitalize.
The goal is to get 10 champions and then get a team championship. Realistically, how do you feel about Penn State? You know, beyond the champions, because Penn State's going to get champions out of this thing. I don't think anybody doubts that. But about getting all 10 guys through, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's really the big focus here this weekend. Obviously, they want to win the title, as you said, and get individual champions and the whole bit. But really, they want to take all 10 guys and make sure they're represented at all 10 weight classes and really get points out of all 10 at the national tournament. And, you know, we talked about Jimmy Gulabon. You're just not sure, but they just keep thinking, and I've got to believe that he's going to get a win or two here against guys that are seated higher than him going into the weekend. Gino Morelli's in a tough weight class. Truthfully, I think both Jimmy and Gino, even if they don't get into the automatic qualifying. I think as long as they finish where they're seated, that they would get an at-large bid. And then the big question would be whether or not Nevels would get an at-large bid. I really think, Steve, the way Nevels is wrestling and the approach he's taking this weekend, I will just be surprised if he doesn't finish in the top five here, which would well secure him an automatic bid. I just think he is a guy that is going to really open some eyes here over the next couple of days with what he's able to do in that heavyweight division. So, you know, it really comes down to Jimmy and Gino at least wrestling to their seats. And again, if they can both get just one spot higher, then they get automatic bids. I think Penn State feels very confident they'll get at least nine through. And Cale truly believes they'll get all 10 through, but I think, you know, you just, until you kind of see how Jimmy takes the approach to the tournament here tomorrow, you're a little unsure of what to expect there.
Morelli, of course, is going to wrestle in that spot. Shakur Rashid, they sent him out to Colorado Springs as well. Has the concern been with him that he has not been able to do enough in the third period, where it seems like the first two periods it's great guns and all of a sudden there's a fade?
Yeah, there's no question. And Steve, the tough thing for Cale with that whole situation is he knows there's not a wrestler in that room that's working harder. And that's saying something when you have the Zane Rutherfords and the Jason Nolfs of the world in that room. But I am not kidding you when I tell you that there is not a wrestler in that room that is more committed than Shakur Rashid to doing everything he can. The bottom line is his body just is not allowing him to compete at 165. He's done everything right in terms of the diet, terms of making sure he's getting water in. And I think, Steve, that he went through a growth spurt here somewhere around January, and his body's just not letting him go seven hard minutes in competition at 165. And I will tell you, we've watched him, and he's out here. He's one of the five extra kids that they got to travel here to Iowa City. And the other thing they love about Rashid is his attitude. And he is not a guy that is sitting around sulking, pouting about what could have been this year. He is already talking about what he needs to do to win a national championship next year. And that has been his focus in this 2 weeks in the room. And to watch him go with Bo Nickel, to watch him go with Matt McCutcheon in the room, it's special. Steve, he has special talent. Again, his body just is not letting him go for 7 minutes at 155. Yeah,
and that's why he wanted to put him in the thin air out there. That was another reason why. Colorado Springs was the choice because Cale wants, hey, look, let's get him into the thin air. Let's kind of really almost test him out and see where he is. And again, that was another great move by him because, again, that's a big picture move by Cale.
Yeah, no question. And again, I think both Gino and Shakur have handled that very well. Shakur knows what he brings to the table, but he knows his body just he just can't hold 165. Yeah. It's just not going to happen this year.
Years ago, you and I could have, and then that ended.
Yeah, I think that ended right around my sophomore year in high school.
I think it ended for me at 10. All right, hey, Jeff, great weekend. We look forward to listening to every single match, and let's see what they can bring home here.
Thanks very much, Steve. Yep, we're looking forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice, Penn State Wrestling. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Did you know that the average person spends about 15% of their income on things they don't need? Hi, this is Bart from Peter's Home Appliance Center in Sunbury. While that may apply to things like books and video games, we know it's certainly not true when it comes to appliances for your home. My family and I take pride in being here for over 50 years for all your appliance needs with the best prices so you can keep more of that income. Buying a new appliance is a big investment, so we provide only the best products from names like GE, for example. We have GE front-load washers and dryers, French door and side-by-side refrigerators, dual-fuel ranges, gas ranges, and microwave ovens, to name just a few. So when it comes to buying those things in life that we all need, quality, name-brand appliances, delivery and installations, see us at Peters. Remember, we service what we sell. Peters Home Appliance Center, 349 Market Street in Sunbury.
Your four-legged friend is an important part of the family. Don't they deserve the best health care too? Then choose Animal Care Hospital in Lewisburg, featuring advanced technology, including laser therapy, ultrasound, and digital x-ray. Everything to keep your pet healthy. Open Saturdays and evenings for your convenience. Trusted, compassionate, expert veterinary care for over 25 years on Hospital Drive in Lewisburg, near Kelly Elementary School, and at myanimalcarehospital.com. We love what we do.
No one plans for it to happen, but we get older every day. You find yourself making plans for a loved one's care, and you're not sure where to go or how to begin. It's hard enough to put a loved one in a nursing home or skilled care facility without having to understand or interpret all your options and decisions you now face. That's where Scheiblau offices can help. Call 570-523-3200 or visit online at scheiblau.com. Let their experience help guide you through the process and take away some of the burden. Scheiblau offices. Planning for your tomorrow.
Well, we get to this point here. Sandy Barber, next half hour, we'll revisit what we talked about on Wednesday. Everybody out there, after this great run, Kevin Herr is going on within the company to some bigger and better things potentially.
Looking forward to new opportunities.
So this is going to be his final show here today.
Rob Center will be joining you. He's been bringing sports to you for years in the mornings with Mark Lawrence, and he will be joining you starting on Monday for a while.
Sounds good. But it has been an incredible privilege for me and an absolute enjoyable 4+ years working with you, despite people say all the things that we've said back and forth to each other. It's all part of the show. It's all part of the act. I love him like a brother, and I think that within the company, he's going on to digital media within the company, which is going to be a great opportunity, a chance to even make, I mean, I think a chance to make a lot more money, which is great, which is all, you know, in the end, all I care about for you. We're going to miss you tremendously. I'm going to miss you tremendously. The audience is going to miss you tremendously. And it's been a real privilege working with you.
I appreciate that, Steve, very much. And it was one of the most entertaining times of my life and one of the best things I've done in this business. And I've enjoyed every moment with you, my friend. It has been a pleasure. And I'll come back to, you know, just keep you updated on IndyCar stuff, too. Because I know if I don't do it, you will never know.
No. All right. Sandy Barber coming up next. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thank you, Kevin, for everything.
Love you, brother.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Final half hour of the show for the week. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sports Bozo of the Day in a few moments. Don't forget, Penn State basketball coming up Sunday in the Jordan Center, where the Nittany Lions take on Illinois. It's a noon tip-off and an 11:30 airtime for the regular season finale. Then it's the Big Ten tournament next week. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Best selection anywhere. Stores really well laid out. Wide aisles. Plenty of help to get the cases of the car. Oh, and by the way, the car, plenty of free parking. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. And Corey knows I love the barrel pickles and I love the dills. Oh, yes. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports Bozo of the Day, the great goalie Henrik Lundqvist of the Rangers. In the last 13 games against the Penguins, the Rangers, with Lundqvist in goal each time, including the playoffs, 11-1-1. Last night, the Rangers were blasted by the Penguins 4-1. And the Penguins put together a three-goal sequence in the second period that just put the game away. Sidney Crosby, Geno Malkin, and Patrick Hornquist each scored right at the end of the period. And there was a sequence also where Ryan McDonagh collided with Henrik Lundqvist. Lundqvist, on an odd man rush into the zone, turned around, took the net, and threw the net off the moorings. He received a delay of game penalty, but just did it. I mean, I'm talking not incidental. He turned around, put both hands on it, or both gloves on it, and just threw it off the moorings into the boards. Henrik Lundqvist, normally praised on this show because he is one of the best, if not the best, goalie in the world right now. Based on what he did last night, gets our Sports Bozo of the Day. All right. Earlier this week, we had Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber on the show. We wanted to revisit that, and we had a chance to talk to her on Wednesday.
Well, thank you. I'm here in Indianapolis, just a couple hours away from the Lady Lions tipping off against Illinois in the Big Ten tournament tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got a lot to do here. As you go through the next few months, including, of course, eventually we'll get to what's going to happen with facilities down the road. That'll be a different day, a different conversation. Over the last few years, Penn State's gone out with the caravans and so forth. What is the plan this time through?
Well, we were in the process of looking at, you know, where we were going to go and what we were going to do, what the caravan was going to look like 2016. But to be honest with you, Steve, we've just here in the last few days made a decision based on where the state budget is. And its potential impact on Penn State, on the university, and the conversations I, as a part of the president's cabinet, have been having. We've conferred with the Alumni Association, really feel that it's best to take a hiatus on the coaches' caravan this spring. Certainly, it's a very resource intensive endeavor. One that I know our alumni across the state and certainly in the region have enjoyed. But we've partnered with the Alumni Association. We conferred with them and really felt like it was not prudent at this time, even though it's not state dollars. It's not the appropriation that we're talking about, but that it would be best for us to not do the event this year, take a hiatus, look at other ways for us to engage with our alumni members across the country, and maybe take a fresh look at it next spring.
But at the same time, being good team players, is this the athletic department's way of saying, look, we're going to do our part too for the university?
Well, I absolutely do think so. Unless the budget gets the state budget situation gets resolved, we're going to be as a campus, looking at a lot of different things. We've already, the president and the provost have asked the entire campus to take a look at non-discretionary travel and some other things. So, you know, athletics, although we receive absolutely no state appropriation, no state funding, we need to be good partners in this. And this is one way to do that. It is very resource intense. And we think that there are other ways that we can engage with our alumni this year.
I know you're at the women's basketball tournament. We'll discuss that in a moment. Men's basketball, a year ago at this time, you said that you liked the direction and the progress you had seen from Patrick Chambers in men's basketball. We revisit this a year later. What is your opinion of where things stand there?
Well, I think we continue to build. I like the progress. I think there's year over year been great progress. I think we're starting to see it. Obviously, we have another great recruiting class coming in next year, but we've still got a lot of basketball to play this year. We've got two games left, and you know, Pat and I have had a conversation just today. You know, and we're all in. It's about the process. You know, it's about today's practice. And getting better, but we've got a chance to do something that Penn State's never done before in terms of where we're positioned in the Big Ten tournament. And I really really like these guys and where they're going, and they've given us a lot to be really really proud of.
On the women's side, they've had a lot of injuries this year, and they've had to overcome it. And yet, it seems like they've played some of their best basketball over the last 3 weeks. You're going to watch today's game with Illinois. What's your thought on where that program is right now?
Well, Steve, you said it. I mean, we had the three ACL injuries before we even barely got into the preseason, and that's hard. But I tell you what, you've got to really give credit to these young women and how they've bounced back, and certainly Big Ten season, latter half of Big Ten season, you've seen us with big wins over Michigan State. We've beaten Iowa twice. We've owned Northwestern this year. I think we're in really good position. Obviously, these have been two seasons that are not up to Penn State standards in terms of women's basketball, and the absolute first person to tell you that or to acknowledge that will be Coach Washington. But I think with the experience that these players have gotten this year, we get the three injured student athletes back. And we add a really solid recruiting class to that. I think the trajectory is up for Lady Lion basketball as well.
You want the best experience, obviously, for every student athlete and the fan as well. How important is it to an athletic director, the Learfield Sports Director's Cup, and getting cup points?
Well, it's, you know, Steve, it's important because it's a metric. It's an indication of where we are. From an excellence strength-wise across the board, but I'm not going to put total stock in that, you know, okay, to a particular coach. We got to have Learfield Director's Cup points out of this. You know, in the end, I think it's an indicator of where we are, but it's not something we talk about every day or that we talk about in a season about how the season is progressing and where in the end, you know, that sport might get us cup points. But it's, you know, it's a nice indicator of where we are as an overall program. And Penn State is one of those few programs that's had an opportunity to really be consistent about finishing in the top 10, top 15 year in and year out.
This is not a facilities question, but I talked to Scott Radisic when we had him on the show 2 weeks ago, and he said one of the really great meetings he had through this entire process is when he sat down with the student athletes, and it blew him away. When you hear something like that, what do you think?
I actually, Steve, was listening to your show when you had him on, and I heard him say that, and I mean that's what we're about. And I love it when our alumni, who at one point in time were sitting in those exact same seats, say, boy, we are recruiting and enrolling and educating some of the finest young people in the world. And oh, by the way, they're pretty good lacrosse players or swimmers or football players or whatever it happens to be. And I think that's the beauty of Penn State. is that that we can have it all, and we're doing it with student athletes who day in and day out are really showing us their character and the character development that they're learning at Penn State.
You were in the Pac-12 when they were the first ones to pass the contact rule, with limiting football contact to 2 days a week, I think, for practice. And then the NCAA,
correct,
I think then adopted it a year later. Overall, the Big 12's doing to do two, but one is during the week and the other one's the game. And the Ivy League yesterday, and it's the Ivy League, they have to, they go by their own rules. They're going to say no contact during the course. The importance, I don't care what the sport is, of always putting player safety first while also maintaining the integrity of what people perceive to be the sport. How fine a line is
that? It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act, but there's no doubt about it. When you look at student athlete safety, you have to put that first. And I think that, we can say that it's the Ivy League, but it's still football. And they still have to. And I read with great interest some of the comments of the coaches in yesterday's media. And I think it's something that has to be looked at. And we have to look at this from every angle. But the truth of the matter is, every good football coach that you talk to is going to tell you that, and truthfully so, they're hitting less.
No doubt. You and I stand there, Sandy. We see it. You and I both know that.
Yeah. So the Ivies may be making a rule. The Pac-12 may have made a rule. Pac-12 made a rule because that's what they were all doing.
Right. It was that when everybody, Jeff Tedford, who was the coach when you were there, was already doing that. So.
Yeah, that's what our coaches were already doing, both for player safety reasons as well as competitive reasons, because you don't want your guys worn out getting to Saturday.
And of course, everyone, has there been any conversation among athletic directors about the move by Michigan to take a spring break and go to IMG for four practices?
Has there been any conversation about that? That's your question?
Yes.
Sure. There's been a lot of conversation about it, and I'm sure that the conversations at some places have been on both sides of the issue. Ooh, we want to do that, or how can he do that? And the rules allow it, and God bless it.
Yeah, he didn't break a rule. I mean, he did not break a rule. It's legal as to what they're doing. Yeah. I just was wondering if maybe in casual conversation it might have come up. That's all.
I've been involved in some casual conversations and some not so casual conversations about it with some of my colleagues across the country.
Are you now that you've gone a year and a half in this, you're more excited about what you have here at Penn State than when you started?
Steve, I every day I get more and more enthusiastic and more excited about what our opportunities are, just because there is such an incredible base, such an incredible institution, tradition, and history of who we've always been and what we've been about, and how we can take some of today's circumstances and make that even more of an advantage for our students. And I mean that in the classroom, I mean it in the community, and obviously I mean it from an athletic standpoint. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to, we've got facilities work to do. We've got infrastructure work to do. We've got programming work to do around student development and really utilizing the power that is the Penn State alumni base, 650,000 strong. Nobody else has that.
No.
And what that the opportunities that provides for our student athletes. Immeasurable. I get up every morning and I've learned something the day before, or we've discovered something, or we've created something the day before that makes the opportunity even bigger today.
It's a great moment in time to be here. Thanks so much. I appreciate the time you gave us, Sandy. Enjoy the game today. Should be a pretty good one with Illinois at 4:00.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time, Steve. Always appreciate it.
As Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber talking to her on Wednesday, the Lady Lions were eliminated last night for the Big Ten tournament by Purdue, 70-59. And, of course, Bucknell lost last night. Penn State lost last night to Northwestern, 71-61. Penn State played 10 brilliant minutes of basketball last night to take a 20-point lead and get it down to 4. But the game's 40. It's not 10. And you got to put together more than that to win in this conference. They've got Illinois Sunday at noon in the Jordan Center. We're on beginning at 11:30 in the morning on the Penn State Sports Network and on News Radio 1070 WKOK, which will then transition into the Big Ten tournament next week. And we don't know yet what day Penn State is going to be playing. If Penn State had won last night, we could have told you with complete assurance that Penn State would be playing Thursday. But now it depends on what happens on Sunday. They're either going to play in the opening day Wednesday, or they're going to play on Thursday, and we won't know until the game is over with on Sunday. So that's where that stands going into the weekend. It's also a big weekend, and of course we now know, by the way, that Bucknell's going to get an NIT bid. They'll get an automatic bid to the NIT, but that's not what these kids wanted. It was disappointing, obviously, last night. We'll talk to Nathan Davis about that next week. But it was certainly, obviously, it was disappointing for them to have that happen. But that's how tough this game is now. The game is tough all the time now. It's tough across the board. You've got, we talk about parity in college basketball. I don't know if parity is a good thing or not. I sense it's better than just the same old gang. Although we've discovered over the years, TV ratings-wise, that a Duke, a Kentucky, a North Carolina, they bring with it a certain ratings cachet that shows that the dominant team is the one that that people want to watch on TV. I think we've pointed out, Kevin and I, several times, Kevin loves Cinderella, and I said, Cinderella's great. I said, in the opening weekend, everybody loves Cinderella. You know when they don't love Cinderella anymore? They don't love her on the second weekend. On the second weekend, people want to see cream. They want to see the cream rise to the top. It's just the way it is now. The NFL is one of the only sports where you can have, where it's been proven that it doesn't matter who's in it. Carolina played Denver in the Super Bowl. And Denver had Peyton Manning. Carolina's developed its own star, obviously, in Cam Newton. But it's still Carolina. It's Charlotte. It's not New York. It's not Boston. And you still have near record ratings, record viewership, because the NFL has done a great job of dominating the landscape. They dominate it. The NBA has been fortunate because you've had LeBron James, for example, in the finals in each of the last 5 years. So you've had star cachet at the very top of the food chain. And what's really helped is that now you've got another group in Golden State with Steph Curry facing off against LeBron James, and now everybody's had a chance to see Steph Curry play, and now Curry's becoming one of the faces of the league. The NHL, well, you've had the Chicago Blackhawks have a dominant run. That hasn't hurt to have a big-name, big-city, original six team in that position. And they have stars, and Patrick Kane and guys like that, and Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, they're stars. And I think that's really helped. Baseball, notice how baseball has suffered a bit. The ratings for the Mets and the Royals World Series were in the single digits. They were in the 8s and 9s. So no New York Yankees, no Red Sox, no St. Louis Cardinals. And did it make a difference? Because the Mets are not the Yankees in terms of national feel. And so now back to college basketball. College football has been fortunate with the college football playoff for the most part. I mean, the first year, you got Alabama playing Ohio State, right? This time you had Alabama playing Michigan State. Okay. And plus it was New Year's Eve. And yeah, Clemson playing Oklahoma. Okay. All right. And they ended up emerging as the winners and then playing in the title game. Ratings went down, but I think they went down in part because it's not, the sport of college football is more popular than ever, but they went down because they picked a bad date. They picked New Year's Eve. And you can't force something down the throat of the public. You can't. It's something they either accept and love and get on board with, or they don't. And they don't get on board with that. And in college basketball, this formula of how they played out and how CBS has done the tournament now in conjunction with TBS, yeah, people love it. It shows in the ratings. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, from the Sunbury Motors Studio. I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, everyone. We look forward to talking to you Monday right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.